Well, good morning. I want to also welcome all of you who are joining us online, especially those of you who are deployed all around the world. Thank you for serving, and I hope you enjoy the service today. We're going to talk about marriage, but first I want you to think back. I want you to think back to your very first cell phone. You think back? Some of us are older, so we have to think back harder, and then you can't remember what you were thinking. And, you know, thoughts. You know, you have a thought, and if you love it and it goes away, let it go. And if it returns to you, it was yours. Just to enjoy that. If you're really old, though, maybe this was your first one, the Motorola bag phone. I think they gave away a pair of hammer pants with each of these. And then the Motorola Dynatac, the Zach Morris phone. If you don't know who Zach Morris was, forget it. Motorola StarTac, the first flip phone. This is when it got cool. It's like, oh yeah. But the antennas always broke. I had that one. Yeah, I remember that. Then there was the BlackBerry. Yeah, this is the first addictive phone. You know, this is the one where you were checking it more. I'm checking this thing. This is, look at all the cool stuff this does. I'm checking it out. And that's where the addiction began. Because when your phone, well, the addiction really going to the next one, the iPhone. God's favorite. The iPhone. These phones now, they ping and they pong and they let you know. They're saying, pay attention to me. Pay attention. Ding. Pay attention. You got email. You got a text. All this stuff. And we're like, okay, all right. And we're just like this. And we're addicted. And what they've found is that when those things ping and pong and all that, it sends off little endorphin rushes in your brain, exactly like cocaine does. They're actually addictive. So when you look at your kids, you go, oh, they're just on the phone all the time. Would you, you know, if you go in their room and they're like, would you be saying, oh, always on the cocaine, you know? I kind of did that like I knew what I was doing. Anyway, it's like we overlook this, you know, I didn't do that in any other service. This stuff just comes to my mind. Yeah. For all of you who are in law enforcement, I'd like to... help me, Jesus. So here's the problem with the iPhone. You know, I remember, you know, you want to get the next one. And it's just like, oh, I got that, the iPhone 7 Plus. And then they go 8 on me. What? Yeah, 8 Plus. And now what happened to 9? They just went to 10. It's like, are you kidding me? How many iterations of this thing did I miss? But I got to get the 10 because it's got facial recognition. I got to have the facial recognition because I'm so tired of pressing my thumb on the button. So hard. Yeah. You always want the upgrade. The problem with the phone is the upgrade. The upgrade is always coming, and there's always, you know, then you got to go, is it 3G, 4G, 4G LTE, 5G? How many Gs am I getting? I mean, G, you know? It's just this constant. And then here's the real problem, long-term contract. Whenever there's an upgrade, you got to deal with this long-term contract. I mean, who wants to be stuck in a long-term commitment to an old phone? This is where we bring phones and marriage together. You see where this is going. A lot of marriages find themselves in this place. I want to upgrade the old bag phone. Yeah, why? Well, because dating, you know, looking for the new model. Man, it's exciting. Those of you who are dating, you know, it's exciting. It's explosive. It's like, ooh. Sizzle, look at that, Woo! The dating. And then when you start, you know, I'm now dating him or her, it's like, oh, the way she walks is so cute. The way he talks, it's just so sexy. Carmen and I were on a, my wife Carmen and I were on a flight a couple weeks ago. We went out of TJ to San Miguel, and we're landing, and there's this recording, you know, and it's, my name is Fernando, and I want to thank you for flying Interjet. And I'm going, see, that's how I want to talk. That's it. My name is Miguel, and I want to thank you for coming to this lecture. You know, it's, you know, that's why I want to learn Spanish, not German. You know? Ha! Ha! You know, that just doesn't get it. If you're German, I'm sorry. It's like, I'll be apologizing to various groups I offend throughout the talk. All right. So anyway, the dating thing is amazing. And, you know, because it's the new model. So if you've been dating someone for a long time, one of you is waiting for the new model, okay? So you're dating, and then you marry. And the days turn into months, the months turn into years, and the years collect themselves into decades. Yeah, we got four of those decades now. You know, thank you, yeah, it's awesome. The problem is what used to be just, you know, delightfully surprising is now just painfully annoying. You know, there's just those things that, oh, it's no big deal. I'll change that in him or her over time. No, you don't. You really don't. You just annoy the crap out of each other, okay? That's what happens. You know, the new wears off when you catch him again using your toothbrush. I have done a lot of weddings over the last 40 years. I was a youth pastor and college pastor in a large college group. There were times on Saturdays I did 3 weddings. They were just, I mean, and every one of these couples on that wedding day, every one of them was optimistic that their relationship was going to thrive and grow. No one of them went into it with the idea of, I just hope I can hang in here a few years, maybe walk away with a couch. You know, that wasn't on anyone's mind that day. That wasn't the big goal. But I want to look at some instructions to husbands and wives. If you would look with me at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 25. I'm going to get a drink. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, gentlemen, before you want to cut this part out and tape it to the bathroom mirror, the next part is what makes the first part possible. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So if you want your wife to do the first part, all you have to do, guys, just be Jesus. That's all you got to do. Just be exactly like Jesus. Good luck with that. Good luck with that, okay? It's a goal. We want to grow too, but be careful. Matter of fact, for the Bible quiz champs, you know that I actually started with verse 22 there. Where's verse 21? So glad you asked. Check this out. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. See, submission isn't a one-way street. It's mutual. It's a two-way street. Submission goes both ways. We're both submitting to one another. And submission can never be demanded. It can only be offered. I need to say that one again. Submission can never be demanded. It can only be offered. I realize that, you know, many of you are single. or you're single again, or you wish you were single again. I don't know how that's all going, but and some of you are single and you're super content. And you're thinking, well, why do I need this? Well, let me just tell you that the principles we're about to look at are going to be very applicable to the other relationships in your life. So pay attention. If you are single and maybe you're thinking, you know, I really would like to get married, you know, at some point in the future, take good notes, because I hope that you'll learn some things about how to be a great spouse. Here's the big idea of our series. We can re-engage upward, inward, and outward by understanding that we're loved, that we're deeply loved by God. And learning how to love like this is learning how to love God and then love ourselves and then love others. Empowering love like this begins when we really do choose to believe that we are deeply loved by God. Now, I know that for many of you, that whole idea, well, yeah, we're deeply loved by God, you immediately dismiss it for you. Because, you know what you did last summer. And, you know the issues. You know how jacked up you are. But I just want you to know that God deeply loves you right now, not based on your performance last week or last summer. Now, you may not be in a place where you're able to receive it because of some of the junk that's going on, but it doesn't change how God feels about you. And He is always inviting us to come to re-engage in that love with Him. He loves first. That's what our theme verse is right here, 1 John 4. We love because He first loved us. He started. He went first. He says, I'm all in. It's God's love for us that really sets the stage for us to love Him. Jesus taught that the point of life is love. And it's not a love that is looking to extract love from us. But it's a love that is giving, sacrificial. And the key to life and relationships is learning how to love like that. Here's the big idea for today. Re-engaging with God helps us re-engage a marriage. And so I want to look at three ways that we can re-engage in a marriage. But I'm going to change the order up, and I'm going to start, first of all, with inward. Commit to a growing marriage. And I've even added, commit to a long-term growing marriage. I want to look at Galatians 3, and in these verses, Paul really levels the playing field for all people, all races, and both genders. It was radical thinking in the first century, and I think it's still radical thinking today. Galatians 3. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is male and nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So this idea of growing doesn't have anything to do with earning it. It doesn't have anything to do with your economic status, your country of origin, or your gender. God invites all of us into a relationship of growth, of change. He wants to do those things in us. And unless I'm willing to honestly look at myself, and then when I see things about myself that are in need of some change, then I agree with God. If I don't do that, I won't grow. Do you know anything about you that maybe needs to be changing that you're putting it off? You're not dealing with it yet. You're putting a stop on your personal growth. Embrace what you're seeing that needs to be changed, because you're only seeing it because God's ready to help you. He's ready to empower you to change. Now, over these 40 years of marriage, Carmen and I have experienced some very painful seasons of pruning. And many of you know our story. I won't get in a lot of details today, but we've had these seasons where we just had to start over. Matter of fact, one counselor, he kind of, after seeing him for some time, here's what he said to us. This marriage is over. End it. Need a new marriage, but you don't need a new spouse. And what he was encouraging us to do is quit trying to fix all the minutiae of what bugged us about each other and decide, what kind of marriage do you want? What do you want to see happening in your marriage? Why don't you just do that? Just start doing all the stuff you want to do and quit trying to fix all the stuff. And it was great advice, because you know what happened when we just started doing the stuff? The other stuff started dropping away. It worked. It's kind of like this. I have this cool, cool hedge in my backyard. I've been living in the same house 20 years. And this hedge is like 8-10 feet tall, well-maintained. It's really great. But there's one section of it that we really needed to do some work on. And in order to really save the fence, it was just getting so heavy and so thick. And here's what we had to do. Chop it apart. I mean, just chop it back. It's the only way to save it. It's going to take months. It's going to take months for it to be that beautiful 10-foot green hedge again. Sometimes that's what you got to do. Sometimes you have to make some painful, difficult choices to grow in your marriage relationship. There are seasons that require that kind of a radical choice in order to grow into a healthy marriage. See, without the pruning, we risk losing the whole hedge. But, you know, it's easier in the short term to just do the little fix, but it's costly in the long run. Maybe you've been looking at your marriage in that sort of short-term fix way. You know what? All I want to do is just get past the today's tension. I don't want to deal with the underlying issues that are there. I don't want to deal with maybe some difficult pruning, maybe some change I need to make. But if you're not willing to make the painful choices and strengthen and grow, then you risk losing the whole thing. Now, I didn't just say long-term so that you could have long-term misery. That's not the goal of marriage. When you throw in long-term growing, it indicates that there's investment taking place, that there's action, that there's continuing maintenance. Carmen and I are committed to a long-term and growing intimacy. And this, you know, this didn't start out well in many ways, because I didn't have any role models in this. I didn't know how you got there, but I'm going to just give you four ways that we look at this. And these aren't in your outline, so you can either write them down or just continue to play with your phone. We want to be emotionally intimate. We share and affirm our feelings. Huh? This was something that was very difficult for me and took a long time, and I'm still learning. Physically intimate. Sex is mutually satisfying, not demanded or withheld. Not a weapon. Spiritually intimate. We pray together, and we want to help each other on this journey to Jesus. We want to point each other to Jesus. And then intellectually intimate. We share ideas. We problem solve. We do our whole life together. You know, it's lights on, windows open, all the cards on the table. Here it is. Now, how are we going to deal with this? We want to be that old couple that's holding hands, taking walks, getting hits off each other's oxygen tank. You know, that's the goal. Jesus said this in Matthew 19. From the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. God's design for marriage is oneness, this join. The King James Version of the Bible uses the word cleave. This suggests that it's not something that just happens because I've fallen in love. You know, it's a choice, you know, because you're going to have stuff happen. You know, it's going to occur. Crap is going to hit your marriage fan. And when it does, you have to choose to cleave, choose to stay joined. And I talk to people every now and then, well, this whole oneness thing, you know, Pastor Mark, I married the wrong person. She's not my soulmate. He's not my soulmate. I married the wrong person. Well, you don't need a new spouse. You need a new attitude. Here's why. I talk to sometimes even like 20-something people. Well, I'm just praying that God will show me the one person. Show me the person that he wants me to marry. That one perfect person that's made specifically for me. I just want you to know something. At some point in human history, somebody married the wrong person and has screwed up the chain. Okay? Just want you to know that. The chances that you're going to find that one person, never. No hope. No hope whatsoever. So I just want to clear the air on that one, all right? Be the right person. I'm trying to find the right person. Be the right person. One dad was describing the first grade Christmas program and his son's performance. Here's what he said. He was not into it. He's right in the middle and taller by a head than everyone else. The kids are singing, but not my son. I'm in the back with a video camera zooming in on him. The other kids have hand motions going on. Not my son. Pull him aside after. I said, what's going on? Didn't you like the music? Didn't you know the words? Didn't you know the hand motions? Why didn't you sing? He looked at me and said, I didn't want to. And, you know, I hate to say it, but we don't need new music. We don't need new lyrics, new hand motions. We need to re-engage. Unfortunately, some of us have this attitude. I don't want to. I just don't want to. I want you to know something. If you're married to someone who just doesn't want to, you can't make them. You cannot make them. And I understand that because that was me. When Carmen and I were going through some real tension and change was on the table, it was like, hey, I don't want to. She goes, well, this is what you do and you need to change that. Hey, I'm thinking, wait a minute. This is me. You knew who I was when you married me. This is who I am. You know? It's like, now all of a sudden you want me to change? That's just me. I say inappropriate things in crowds. It's just me. Fart jokes are still funny. Yeah, that's me. I'm immature. It's me. Unfortunately, God was trying to help me to grow and change, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to stay in the I don't want to and lose the whole hedge? Or is I going to embrace change? God designed marriage to be good, and it can be good, but it takes commitment. Re-engage in this commitment to a long-term growing marriage. The second area to re-engage outward is commit to a serving marriage. Serving expresses honor and respect to your spouse. Honoring and respecting your spouse is loving your spouse. Dishonoring and disrespecting your spouse is unloving to your spouse. Romans 12:10. Would you read this out loud with me? And if you're a guest, just want you know, we do this with our outside voices. Ready? Go. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. We're learning some things about this. Matter of fact, it's kind of rising to the surface in many areas of our culture right now about honoring women. And one of the ways is that the idea of a woman making less than a man while she's doing the same job is dishonoring. That's just reality. And I want my wife, my daughters, my granddaughters to have every opportunity. They should be able to earn based on their ability and their performance, not on their gender. This means that we men must let go of the boys' club stuff at work. We've got to make some changes. I mean, hey, there is a woman NFL ref now. That's not surprising. The women have been interrupting football for decades. Okay. So kind of a natural flow. And it's good that, you know, a woman is finally getting paid for reffing, because moms, you do that about 90% of your day. You're the referee. So hallelujah, someone's getting paid for it now. Seriously, relationship grows in an atmosphere of mutual love and respect. Submission is positive and life-giving only when it's mutual. Without mutual trusting submission, you have fearful, stubborn division. Paul's words in Philippians 2 takes this idea further, and I think it beautifully applies to marriage. Make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And that's beautifully said, easily applied, but I left out verse 3. Check this out. Do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. Okay, again, how do you do that? How do you show that kind of honor and respect in marriage? I'm going to give you 3 ways to do it. Again, not on your outline. These are totally free. First one, listen. When you're sitting down with your spouse and having a conversation, shutteth up and listen. Just listen. Without just sitting there thinking about what you're going to say next and how you could fix what they're saying. Secondly, validate feelings. This one was really hard for me to learn, but it was important to learn. You know, if Carmen goes, I just feel so depressed. And I said, well, you shouldn't feel depressed. You got nothing to feel depressed about. Not helpful. It didn't really move us closer together. Here's a one that just from observation. Build up your spouse. Affirm your spouse, especially in public. When you say things to demean, to cut, to bring down your spouse, especially in public, but also in private, you are undermining your marriage. You honor and respect your spouse by serving them in this way. And selfishness kills and serving wins. That's just the way it is. Applies in all relationships. And if I'm honest, I'd have to say deep down inside, I'm selfish. I like me. I want me to be happy. I want me to get what me wants. Yeah, I am. And you're no better. You want the same stuff, right? You want. That's why I sit there on the couch, and my thought is, if I don't get off the couch, maybe she'll think I didn't hear her. Yeah. Oh, and you go, oh, I can't believe that's what. Think about you. I'm still asleep. I don't hear the baby. You do the same stuff. Now, look at this contrast to selfishness in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm just going to read it slow and painful. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Reengage in an honoring, respecting, and serving marriage. The third area to reengage, upward. Commit to a following marriage. In other words, a marriage where the husband is following Jesus. A marriage where the wife is following Jesus. See, God doesn't want your marriage to be first. He doesn't want your kids to be first. He doesn't want your parents to be first. God is to be first. Your wife, your husband, is to be second. God does not want your kids to be second, or your parents to be second, or your hobbies to be second, or your career to be second. I want your spouse to be second. Following means that I'm learning to recognize God's presence and then learning to engage with God in his presence or re-engage. You know, it's all about Mike and Carmen, each pursuing our own relationship with Jesus. This brings us back together like no seminar or book or preacher talk could ever do it. John 15, Jesus said this, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." And look at Galatians 5 describes the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Any of those think that might help re-engage a marriage? Maybe you'd go look at a couple of those and say, you know what? Boy, one of those popped out to me. Start working on that one this week. More than any other factor, it's Carmen following Jesus, it's Mike following Jesus, both leaning into his presence, both willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and what he's saying to us, even when it's hard to hear, and being willing to obey. That is what brought Carmen and I back together, is following Jesus, because he's leading us to oneness. After 40 years and some very painful seasons of pruning, Carmen and I can now say, you know, next 10, best 10. That's our motto for this, our decade of our 60s. Next 10, best 10. And I know many of you don't know my wife, so this is a picture of my best friend. Yeah, she's so cute. My name is Miguel. The bottom line, my relationship with God empowers my decision to re-engage. I need power. Some of you might be thinking, well, we tried counseling, we tried this, and that didn't work, and this didn't happen, or Eeyore, you know. Well, then let the power of the Holy Spirit be added to it by pursuing him wholeheartedly. John 1, to all who believed him and accepted him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. You see, he didn't say to all who began to do everything perfectly. You cannot perfect your way into relationship with God. You can just accept it, and it's by engaging in his presence that things begin to change in you. You begin to change because the power of the Holy Spirit is coming alongside your will to be obedient. So I encourage you to re-engage in a marriage, but the foundation of it is to re-engage in being a follower of Jesus. start there. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you so much that you have pursued us, that you have chosen us. Lord, help us to learn to love you and to love ourselves as you're helping and healing us, and then to love others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.